Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today is podcast number 1077. Our topic is Q&A and the title is Understanding Fluctuations in Training Performance. Cool. So we had somebody send in an email as a first-time person kind of sending an email, which is always fun. I appreciate everybody who sends an email so we can do these Q&A podcasts every fourth podcast, so it's kind of fun. I love being able to answer direct questions because I then know at least one person is benefiting from the podcast, so that's really rewarding. That's good. I used to laugh every time I went public speaking. I have an undergraduate degree in health and phys ed. So I had to get used to teaching, like public speaking in the sense of teaching. It got me comfortable with it. So I don't freak out much. I don't really have any nervousness to it anymore, especially when I'm talking about training and nutrition because I know it very well. So that helps a lot. So what I used to do when I was younger in school is I would memorize my topics and memorize my speeches and things. Now, I never memorized anything verbatim because that would freak me out if I messed it up and then how could I get back on track? So I more so just kind of memorized topics and outlines and key points, and then I just talked. So I'd often be the only kid in the class without notes because I didn't want anything like getting in my way. I didn't want anything messing up my stream of thought. So I enjoyed just kind of freelance and talking. And what always helped was having in-depth knowledge, having confidence in the knowledge of the subject matter, and that would always help me feel better about talking. Then also, when I do nutrition and training kind of seminars and when I go public speaking in different places, I love just doing Q&A. I'll often, you know, prepare something to talk about given the audience, but I love just opening it up to Q&A and just answering with whatever people need. Typically, people have their questions and, you know, frustrations and uncertainties about food and training, and that's the thing they want answered. So I can stand there and talk to you about all the different types of carbs there are in the world, but you probably have a very specific question that you want answered that's been bugging you, and if you have the answer to that, you'd feel more confident and you could have, you know, the life you wanted, the body you wanted. So I love just answering questions. So I usually start with a lot of Q&A and enjoy that. That was all side subject to the fact that why I love Q&A podcasts. It's fun to see what people are thinking about. It's fun to get an idea of what people want to know more about. So I can always make sure this podcast is exactly what you need it to be. The idea of the podcast initially was to, if I was giving repetitive answers to clients, I just wanted to make a podcast so I could just send the podcast and I have to type that answer out all the time. And the other part of the benefit was that through the podcast, I could help people with exactly what they needed help with. Whatever your question is, whatever's holding you back from your best life is one email away. One email. If you take 2 minutes to write the email, you can have your answer. So it's awesome when people do that. I really appreciate it. So we're going to read through this one. It's a little bit long, but it's good conversation, good topics, and I think it'll be helpful for everybody, which is why I'm making the podcast. So let's get into it. I recently found your podcast. A gym friend shared it with me, and I've heard you talk about progressions in training in your podcast. How you tell people to try to continue to improve their performance over time as a way to push their body to continue to improve. Essentially, you can't do the same thing all the time and expect a new body from it. Yes. they wrote parentheses. I love your simplicity and explanations, by the way. That's awesome. That's good to hear. But I had a question for you. My friend encouraged me to reach out. I'm doing a program that has specific progressions I'm expected to make, but I can't seem to be able to improve at the rate my program expects me to. I included an example below. My questions are, do these look like realistic progressions? You did not write this program, but given your history with clients, I assumed that maybe you'd be able to tell. So that's awesome. Yes, I can. And then what would be some things I might be doing wrong that are holding me back, and or what are some things I can do that would help me keep up? I've already written too much, haha, but if you have more questions or need more information to help, I'd be happy to answer questions. But also, this is a free service, I believe. Yes, I'm not going to charge you. to answer questions through the podcast, so you probably don't need to spend extra time asking me more questions. I'm done now. Thank you for your podcast. Even if you never answer these questions, I still appreciate the podcast and will be a listener for life. Well, yes, I will answer your questions, so thank you. So I'm glad you wrote what you did, because the more I know, the more I can help. So please don't ever, you know, anybody who ever sends an email, don't feel like you have to cut it to be very short. If I don't want to read it and it's too long, I won't. But I'm just more so joking. The more information you give, the better answer I can give. So it's awesome. Write as much as you want. Write a book. Okay? So thank you, first of all, for sending in the email. It was not the longest one I've gotten by any far, by any stretch, so you're okay, don't worry. And then, everybody, don't ever hesitate to reach out. So the answer's here. The example you wrote based on the percentage, like, your program is based on percentages of a one rep max. So it looks like she's doing some kind of program that's supposed to be, like, a powerlifting based, but she still has, like, the accessories seem to be very glute dominant. So you either have a coach who believes you need a butt, so they're making you do all glute things, or this is a program that has some kind of combination of like strength and glute growth in it. Now, the way in which the progressions are written, unfortunately, are horrible. They're one of the ways that I absolutely hate, is it's written with percentages as like everything has to be done exactly this weight, exactly this many reps, and it's horrible, horrible programming in that sense. So listen to podcast number 982. It's a training podcast. It's titled Why Programs Should Have Rep and Percentage Ranges and How to Use Them. So programs absolutely should not be what this example is her example is 85% four sets of three reps. Horrible. Why? And we're going to go through this and talk about this, is that when it's written in that way, it implies that every time you work out, you're coming in with the exact same conditions, the exact same body, the exact same feelings of strength, the exact same mindset. You're coming into every single workout with the exact same conditions as the day you set your one rep max. Hell to the no, is that ever going to happen? No. So we always have fluctuations in sleep. We always have fluctuations in food. We always have fluctuations even in sometimes the time of the day that we train. Sometimes we can get it in the morning. Sometimes we can't. So if we train in the evening, that makes a change. And we always have changes of life stress. Just there's shit happening in life all the time. So you are never going to come into every single workout in the exact same condition to be able to produce the exact same performance every single workout. That's not going to be the case. And very, very rarely will you ever be able to mimic the conditions on a day that you set a one rep max. Typically, when we set a one rep max, we would have prepared for it. So maybe you backed off on your programming the week leading up to the max, so you're fully recovered. So then how the hell would you be able to perform based off that max when you're not fully recovered? Now, some programs will account for that, but this one did not. This one, they wrote it literally expecting you to come in like it's a one rep max every day, which is horrendous. So that's not going to happen. And then often when we know we're going for a big lift, we try to sleep well, we try to eat well, we try to train at the day that we typically prefer. Like there's excitement of it. So typically it's a special event. And you're not going to be able to create every workout as a special event. So I can't stand when programs are written like that, because this is exactly what happens, is somebody can't quite meet the standard and they feel defeated, they feel like a loser, and they feel like it's something they're doing wrong. No, whoever wrote this program, they're the one doing something wrong. So listen to podcast number 982. Why programs should have rep and percentage ranges and how to use them. That'll help give you way more information about why that program is shitty and we need to make some changes. So podcast 982 will tell you how to make the changes. Then I'm also going to give you some tips here later on. But that is in that example. The way it's written is your program assumes that you're going to come in the same every single day. horrible, not going to happen. You're going to have good days. You're going to have bad days. So if anybody else is experiencing this, if your program is written without ranges, without percent ranges or rep ranges, if it's not written with some variance allowed, then that program is way too strict and it has this false belief that you're going to come in as the same person every single workout. Not going to happen. So in this example, if you were to take the number that's written of reps and add one rep and subtract one rep, that'll at least give you a small range. So in your example, it's four sets of three. You could consider that to be sets of 2 to 4 reps. So if you're on a great day, crank out 4. If you're on a crappy day, try to get at least 2. But it gives you a little bit of variance. And then also aim to reach the total volume, even if it requires extra sets. So what this means is, what's written in the program right now is 85% for 4 sets of 3 reps. That's week 1 of our program. We want to change that. We want to write 85% sets of 2 to 4 reps, aiming for 12 total reps. So let me go back through that. What's written now is 85%, 4 sets of 3 reps. That's 12 total reps. They want you to get 12 total reps at 85%, and they're assuming that you can do that through 4 sets of 3 reps. Well, on a bad day, maybe you get 2 sets of 3. You try the 3rd set, and you only get 2 good reps. Shit, what do you do? Nothing. You just keep going. Don't have to do anything different. You just get another set of 2, then you get another set of 2, and you finish out your 12 total. So even if you have to add a set, just get to the total reps that the program called for, but allow yourself a variance of reps per set of plus or minus 1. So again, if you want to write this down so you can see it visually, 85%, 4 sets of 3 reps, we're going to rewrite that as 85% sets of 2 to 4 reps, aiming for 12 total reps. That's a quick and easy, simple way to adjust your program if your program has percentages. Now, there are other examples that are included in that podcast 982. So if you want to learn more ways to modify or ways that you feel like, what do I do in this situation? You know, it doesn't feel like it's the same. So listen to podcast 982 and it'll explain some more things for you. Now, one of the general things we want to consider here is when we have fluctuations in training, it's often synced with fluctuations outside of training. So there are other factors that contribute to performance fluctuation in the sense that things outside of the gym can influence what's happening inside of the gym. We mentioned sleep, food, time of the day, and life stress. Those are some basic ones that we can look at and kind of raise our awareness of. So when you were saying, what can I do or what should I avoid? Well, what can we do is improve our sleep quality and try to be consistent with our sleep. We have podcast number 376. Now, that's an old podcast. If you have trouble finding that, just do a Google search. Brutal Iron Gym Podcast 376. It's titled Improving Sleep Quality. If you can't find us through Google, just email me at brutalirongym@gmail.com. I'll send you the direct link. But we can learn more about improving sleep quality through podcast 376. And that can help develop more consistency in your sleep. The more consistent we are with sleep, more consistent we are with daily energy and how recovered we feel from our training. Sleep, along with protein and general calories, is part of the recovery process. So if I'm low on sleep, I would be low on recovery. Therefore, I might not feel as energetic. I'm going to feel more aches and pains when I train, so my performance might be down. So it might not be anything you're doing wrong in the gym. Actually, most likely it's not that you're doing anything wrong in the gym. It's that you're doing something quote-unquote wrong outside of the gym. And it's not necessarily wrong, it's just inconsistent. Life throws us curveballs all the time. But something you can do to work against the inconsistency of sleep would be to listen to podcast 376 and try to implement some of those things. If you think sleep is something that varies for you, that would be a great resource to look at. The next one we look at here is food. Food is our fuel. If I want to run a machine, I need fuel in the machine, right? So if I want to drive a car, I got to put some gasoline in it. If I want my body to go into the gym and perform, I have to put some gasoline in it. Not literally. We have to put food in. We have to put some calories in our face. So if the last time you worked out, you had a really good energetic meal about an hour or two before training, but today you haven't eaten for 5 hours before training, you absolutely will feel different. You might be able to caffeinate and like cortisol your way through the workout, but you're not going to feel great afterwards, and typically the next workout's going to feel like crap. So sometimes you can fudge it for a day. And that's just the benefit of our flight and fight or flight system, our adrenaline-based system. We can fudge a day if we need to. But in general, if you've eaten differently going into workouts, you will perform differently going into those workouts. So it's both what and when you eat that can influence your performance. There's podcast 764. It's a nutrition podcast titled, It's Both What and When. It's going to teach you that when we look at food, it's not just have I had X amount of calories per day. Our body doesn't use calories on a per 24-hour period. It's not like at midnight every night your body reassesses what calories it has or doesn't have and resets itself for the next day. Uh-uh. Our body fluctuates by the second every single day. So if you're tracking calories by the day, by 24 hours, that's ridiculously inconsistent. Now, maybe that's more consistent than where you've been. So awesome, do that. But it's better to track our calories or pay attention to our calories throughout the day. Do I eat breakfast? Do I eat lunch? Do I eat a meal an hour before my training? If I do those things, and then all of a sudden today I didn't. Maybe I skipped breakfast. Maybe I missed lunch because I had to work through it. Maybe I didn't have that workout before my that meal before my workout. I'm going to perform differently because I'm fueled differently. Does that make sense? So if I fill up my gas tank to a full gas tank, I can drive to the full length of the gas tank. If I only fill up my gas tank a quarter of the way, I will only be able to perform a quarter of the distance. Calories and everything works the exact same way. Now, time of the day, that can actually make a big difference. If you typically work out in the morning and then all of a sudden you have to do a workout in the evening, it will feel different. You'll perform differently. If you typically work out in the evening and then you have to work out in the morning, you will hate yourself and everyone around you. So it's miserable. I hate working out in the morning. Now, I've done it for years. For years, I had to wake up at 5:45 in the morning and train before I taught my 8 a.m. classes. And that was horrendous. I hated it. It was awful. But I would rather do that than not work out and be a, you know, lazy piece of crap. So I got my butt up and I got working out and I did what I was supposed to do. I didn't like any of it for years, but I did it. Now, time of the day changes. In general, if you train in the morning, things feel heavier than if you train later in the day. We tend to kind of have a better, aggression, adrenaline. We tend to have better pain tolerance later in the day. Now, not if you got up at 4 a.m. and you're trying to work out at midnight the next day, but in general, normal life cycle, 8 hours of sleep. If we work out in the morning, things feel heavier. It's a little sluggish to get going. And then kind of like in the later in the day, you feel more fight or flight activity. You're a little more eager to go. Now, that's not true of everybody. Some people, they wake up in the morning, they're morning people, they can go for a big run, they can go lift some big heavy weights. They're the people we all hate because they seem to have their life together and we all wish we could be like them. But we're not all built that way. So if you typically work out at X time and now you're having to work out at Y time, then it will feel different. Your performance will be different. Now, we have a podcast about that. What do you know? So, podcast 1042 is titled Morning vs. Evening Workouts. So you can check that out if you want to. It's just kind of a neat way to explain the differences between them and how you might feel differently. Is it better like, well, if I normally work out in the morning and all I have is the evening, should I just wait till the next day? No, work out whenever the hell you can because life happens and you're going to miss something later on. So if you have the opportunity to work out, even if it's a different time of the day, just work out and get the shit in. Okay, get it done. Now, the last one we'll cover is life stress. And that is always, all the time, constant changing. We can have days we feel great and there's not much stress. We can have the very next day or later on that day, we hear some kind of cruddy news. We're kind of just feeling out of it, not really feeling super excited to train. We, you know, just kind of life changes, our mindset changes. And that's normal life. And that will change how you perform. So if you hear a family member has, you know, health issues, you know, whether you squat 255 or 275 doesn't seem that important that day. Does that make sense? Whereas if everything's cruising and going fine for you, you're probably going to feel more eager and excited to kind of put more effort into your training. If life is going nuts and you're about to lose your job or, you know, some kind of financial trouble, training intensity takes a backseat. You might still train, which I hope you do, because it helps with mental and emotional health. And it continues to help your physical health, of course. But your peak performance might not be there because your peak mental focus isn't going to be there. Now, we can listen to podcast 451, titled How to Adjust Training Based on Stress, and you can get more tips on how to adjust your training if you are in a period of high stress in your life. You're wanting to train, but it's hard to fit in normal training. You're feeling beat up. You're feeling frustrated. You're feeling defeated. Don't give up training. Just learn how to train differently. That's podcast 451, okay? So if these factors are inconsistent in your life, it is reasonable then to predict that you'll be inconsistent in your training. What can we do? We can make some changes. We can listen to the podcast we gave for each category. If your sleep is inconsistent, work to try to create some consistency. If your food is inconsistent, work to try to create some consistency. If the time of the day is inconsistent, again, work to create consistency. If your life stress is inconsistent, you're human. So learn how to work around that or work with it. You can adjust sets and reps, but match your total volume. So if you go in some day and everything feels like crap, just do a couple extra sets, take a couple reps off, you know, and then try to still get what you normally would do. So if you normally would do 4 sets of 10, that's 40 reps, right? But you're like, I can't get this in. I'll just do 5 sets of 8. That's still 40 reps, if I'm doing math correctly. Still 40 reps, but you just didn't have the energy for 10 reps that day, so you just do 8 reps per set. You just throw in an extra set. Take a couple reps off each set, still get your volume in. You've still succeeded for the day, okay? You can also reduce weight if needed, but exchange for an extra working set. Like we just said, that was an example. So maybe I normally do 100 pounds for 10 reps. I'm like, oh, you know what, 100 pounds just feels miserable today. I'm going to do 70 pounds, but maybe instead of 10 reps, maybe I'll just try like 11 or 12. Maybe I'll add an extra working set in. If I normally only do 4 working sets, I'll try a 5th today. So you just kind of make some trade. If you take off weight, add some volume. You can also split your workout up. You know, if somebody wants to, normally you have, like you train Monday, Wednesday, Friday. On Monday, if you're just not feeling it, you're halfway through the workout, say, I'll catch the other half tomorrow on Tuesday. Train the other half on Tuesday and move on. You can also consider reducing volume for a week. So if it's been like 2 or 3 weeks and you're just really feeling beat up, one of the things you could do is just take 1 to 2 working sets off of each exercise. So if you typically do 3 working sets, only do 2 working sets. If you typically do 4, only do 3. If you do 5, only do 4. So take a working set off of each exercise. Still try to match like the previous week's performance. So if last week you did 3 sets of 10 with 100 pounds, just do 2 sets of 10 with 100 pounds this week. Give yourself a little bit more recovery by reducing everything by a working set. And then see if you can jump back onto the program next week and keep pushing up. So there are some examples, but what we can look at, number one, is just understanding that if life fluctuates outside of the gym, then our performance will fluctuate inside of the gym. The other thing is to look at sleep, food, time of the day, and life stress. Try to manage those as best as you can in the podcast we mentioned, and understand that there's going to be fluctuations. I want to limit the fluctuations as narrow as possible so I can have some more consistency in my training. Awesome. And then if you're feeling inconsistent, if things kind of feel like, you know, beating you up, make some of the adjustments we said, and then also just consider that maybe you've been following that program for too long. Programs should change about every 4 to 8 weeks. So if you've been following the same exercises for, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks, and you're just like, man, I just can't improve. I can't make these jumps. You're probably following a program that's incomplete. It should not be written for that long. So I tend to fluctuate programs for clients every 4 weeks. That's a little quicker than what's probably necessary, but it makes sure that it's more interesting, it's more exciting. It makes sure that we are changing angles to avoid repetitive use injuries. There's just a ton of benefits to fluctuations of intensity that come with changing to a new program versus staying consistent with an old one. There's a lot of perks. It's more work for me as a trainer because I have to write everybody's programs more often than what would technically be necessary if we were to let the person just burn out and die and then change the program, which a lot of trainers do, which is, as you can tell, kind of mean and not the best strategy for the client. Better for the trainer, but not for the client. So I don't like any of that stuff. I want my best to try always to train my clients how I would want to be trained. And I try my best to do that, and this is one of the ways I do that, is I make sure we redo programming, we create new things, we're learning new things, we're experimenting, we're having fun, that there's always some kind of evolution or newness to the programming and training. That's always, always, always going to make it better for adherence and just better for mental and emotional health in association with our training as well. So that was hopefully the answers you were looking for. If you have any extra questions, email me back. And if anybody else has any questions, please email me. I very much enjoy the blessing and gift that I get to have by doing this podcast. It's been exciting to see the podcast grow. And that's just cool. It just feels good. I'm happy if the program, like, I'm as happy today as I was when, like, the first week of the podcast, I had, like, 4 listeners. That was awesome. It was 4 new people that I'd never had the opportunity to help before. And that is great. And everything that I've been blessed with in my life, I was able to share into those 4 people. So that feels amazing. So whether it's 4 or 4,000, I'm just happy that people listen. I'm happy that you're finding some kind of benefit in this. Just, it's a true, true, true blessing. So if you have questions, help me, like, do me a favor and send me the questions so I can help you, then I can feel good about myself. Okay? So thank you for sending questions. I really appreciate it when people do. Cool. Well, if you like the podcast in general and you think it's been helpful in your life, please share the podcast. We've had some people sharing the podcast recently, and the numbers have grown. So it's pretty awesome. So sincerely, thank you very, very much. Post on social media. I'm sure people have been sharing things, text message and emails and whatnot, but it's been noticeable. The podcast is growing. I sincerely appreciate everybody's support so we can help more and more people. So thank you. If you like the podcast, click like on the podcast platform you're on. Click the little like button, and that helps the podcast get found better in searches, by the way. And also, if you like the content we share, there's always something every day new on Instagram under the name Brutal Iron Gym. I try to share it onto Facebook and Twitter, but I don't use those platforms as much. And we do have over 1,000 videos on YouTube, so you can check us out under the name Brutal Iron Gym on YouTube. But on social media, Instagram is definitely the one to follow. That's the one I like to post the most on. Cool. Well, if you have questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, or email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.